This month on Over the Fence, iPad Mini. Too many, or just many enough for the 7-inch crowd? Windows 8 is out. What else has surfaced? Steven Sinofsky leaves Microsoft. The Wii U came out on a weekend. Hostess is out of business. Wait, no more Twinkies? All this and more on Over the Fence for December 2012.
Welcome to Over the Fence, a podcast for adventuring gamers to discuss the worlds of gaming, entertainment, and technology. With us tonight, we have Anthony.
Gaming, you say? How about Over the Fence, the turn-based board game? Nothing says nerdy like an RTS where you actually have to have a social life to play.
With us, we have Eric.
Do you like your gaming and technology news with a side of passion? Try Over the Fence, the condom, perfectly lubed for those good feelings.
And we have Patrick.
Gaming news getting you down. Try Over the Fence, the bourbon, brewed with only the finest ingredients to get you shit-faced.
We have William.
Over the Fence bourbon not enough for you? Well, try our entire line of Over the Fence food. Energy drinks, snacks, anything you want.
Food, you say? Might I interest you in Over the Fence, the spork? It's not a spoon, it's not a fork, but it's all the utensil you'll ever need. So...
Found the missing link, have you?
I'm sorry?
You found the missing link, have you?
It was just serendipity.
Oh, beautiful. We're totally kickstarting this, just for the record.
Oh yeah.
I'm aware bourbon's not brewed, just so that we don't have any fans like, that's wrong! That's not how it works.
So anyway.
All right.
The iPad Mini. Too many or just mini enough for the 7-inch crowd? Take it away, Eric.
Creak, 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 creak.
Nothing but crickets here. This is a dud. I mean, Apple hasn't had a legitimate complete failure in a long time. Nobody cares.
Well, I like it. I got one.
Ooh. Nobody except Genesis cares.
I think it's a good idea. I'm just not going to get it because I don't have a disposable income.
In the same, the place they think Apple's always been going wrong is diversity. They're just not, like, diversifying this stuff. The iPhone, like... I've had a couple of people tell me they're not getting the iPhone 5 because, like, yes, it's bigger, but it's not big enough. You know, they see their friends with these big, comfortable keyboards on their Android phones. Like, why is the iPhone so fucking puny? And that's, you know...
Because you're not holding it right.
Well, there could be that.
The thing that bothers me with the iPad Mini, though, is the price is way too high. And especially for a 7-inch tablet, you can find Kindles. You can find the Kindle Fire... for $120 down to $80 if you're looking smart enough.
Now, I considered the Kindle Fire, but here's the place where it fell down for me. It's not flexible. I can't, like, bring up a web browser and, like, go to YouTube and do what I want on there. Like, this... So, like, let me just be clear. I do not like iOS. I don't like having iOS on my tablet, but this is the thing... It's like picking political candidates. This is the one that just... I hate it the least. It comes closest to doing everything I want, being able to play it. iTunes video content I have... Amazon video content, which no Android device can do without being rooted. And I can read the books. I can watch HBO Go. Like, everything that I want to do on the web and multimedia can be done by the tablet. That's why I picked this one. It's sort of like the default. I would love if the Nexus 7 was it, because the Nexus 7 made more sense for the way I like to do things. Like, Android and I get along better. But Google is stopping the Amazon app from getting onto the Play Store, which is really fucking stupid, especially since Apple is now allowing it, mm-hmm. of all things. And didn't Apple have a rule about, like, you can't have something that directly competes with stuff we have or something like that?
Yes, they do. Point.
But they also said that had a rule where they would never, ever make a 7-inch tablet, and, well, we see how that lasted.
Well, that was Steve Jobs saying they were, quote-unquote, dead on arrival. But again, you know... To me, the perfect size for a tablet was the 8.9 that I had, the Galaxy Tab. Mm-hmm. And to wit, there's an 8.9-inch Fire. But the Fire, while having the media of Amazon, still falls down on the flexibility thing. I like the customizability of Android, but at the end of the day, I like the content capabilities of an iPad. Mm-hmm. So that's why I landed on the iPad Mini. But I am on the right page with you with like the whole like, you know, it's not really that amazing because it's essentially a shrunken down iPad 2. Mm-hmm. And that's my text message.
All of our phones.
So, the thing that I don't like about it is something that Johnny Ives did to it. He set the edges to be less sensitive. Mm-hmm. So when I'm trying to close a tab in Chrome, it's like, close it, close it, close it, close it, close, ooh, close. It scrolls up to the top of the web page. You're like, no, fucking close. You know, it's like it won't listen to you because it's designed to ignore accidental touches on the edge there. Mm-hmm. It's like, can I turn that off, please?
Nope, you should be able to just hold it or something to have it override the accidental touch thing. So just like hold because it on the X.
The one thing they did also wrong with the Mini is it's literally, absolutely literally, an iPad 2 shrunken down to 7-inch size. So things are actually a little punier, making it difficult in some cases actually precisely hit what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like on a web page, you could just scroll it up, you know, pinch and zoom, and you're ready to roll. But the tab, the X is the size it would be on a full size iPad, which is kind of puny on a mini iPad. So there's a couple little gotchas there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the content is king, and that's why I went with it. And it's also incredibly portable. I wish the Nexus, if they had the Amazon store on the Nexus, I would have gone that route because I am all about Android. Love Android. That's not perfect by any stretch, but I like it a lot better than iOS. Mm-hmm. And Windows Phone and Windows Tablet.
No, again, nobody cares.
Yeah. So speaking of Windows, Windows 8 is out for everybody. Everybody's got Windows 8, right?
Well,
40 million people, maybe.
Everybody who wants it.
That's probably a good way to put it.
I haven't installed it yet, but, and I'm going to be honest with you, I actually kind of do want it. Because I've seen it in, like, stores. I went to Best Buy over Thanksgiving. And, you know, I tried it out, and I was like, you know what? I kind of like this. I like the way it looks. I like the fact that it's visually simple, and it, you know. And it's basically like having a full screen. It's like running Steam versus running Steam in, like, the big screen mode. Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like. And one is obviously a little prettier. But you can do both if you want. And that's how it feels to me.
The only thing about that, though, is, like, there's just, like, programs that cannot be opened in the Metro screen. So, like, it still kind of has this, you know, dual personality thing. I lean away from the Metro screen. The Metro screen is just a big full-screen start menu for
me.
That I have to spend less time customizing than I did before. So that works out great for me because now it's cut down how much work I have to go through. But on the flip side, Microsoft's leaning in the other direction. They want to go to the Metro screen, and that's that for you. But I don't know if that's really where we're headed now that Snofsky's gone, but I know that that's what they want. And there's some weirdness to it. Like my friend called me the other day. He just installed Windows 8 because he saw it in the store and wanted to buy it and install it, which is kind of crazy. But because he's one of those people that like needs to be explained to how to like set justification in Word when it's just a simple button. You know, like you install an operating system all by yourself, huh? You're right. So he's like, how do I get to my computer? And I was like, yep. That is the first thing the first time I played with the beta, I'm like, that's going to be one of the problems. People are like, where's fucking my computer? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I jumped onto his machine remotely and I added in all the crap that he was missing. So essentially turned the start screen back into the start menu by adding documents, downloads, music, pictures, what have you. But they say this thing makes more sense on a tablet. I still don't see that. I mean, I get that the interface in Metro makes sense on a tablet, but how does it make more sense on a tablet? Like,
and here's where I'm going to step in. I live 5 minutes away from Mall of America, which happens to have an actual Windows store. It's the best part about where it is in the mall is it's across the row from the Apple store, so they can literally glare at each other.
Yeah, that's an accident.
Yeah, not at all. So I went in there. I want to say this was about a week before Win 8 dropped, and I played with Surface for a while. It is very responsive. It is very well put together, and it makes a lot of sense. It's organized well with personal profile information. You hit a tab, and you jump over to your games. You hit a tab, you jump over to your documents and your pictures. And I really am seeing I'm really seeing them applying it very well. If Windows 8 was designed to be a tablet-only operating system, we would probably be hailing it as even better than Android 4 when it comes to tablet OSs. It's seriously solid. I didn't get to play with it enough to see if I could find a way to force the tablet into the actual desktop mode. I don't know if that's possible. And
depends on which one.
Yeah, I was playing with Surface, so I don't know how possible.
It Surface, runs RT.
Okay.
Surface will go into the desktop mode for Microsoft apps. I believe Microsoft Office apps only.
Okay.
But everything else is locked into the Metro screen.
Okay. So that could be a problem. It might not be. It kind of depends how you're planning to.
See, that's where I was saying, like, it's hard to... It's... Where we're at now, I can function. I have no problem with the way it is. Mm-hmm. The problem is where they want us to go is where I'm a little worried about.
And
you know?
It's good. We're going to find out for sure which direction this is going when number one, Service Pack 1 drops.
Mm-hmm. Not doing service packs anymore.
Oh, they're really? Just, oh, yeah. They're rolling, they're sticking with the slow incremental updates?
Yeah, in fact, okay. There was news today about what the code name for it is. It's going to be Windows Blue.
Oh, I heard that. Yes,
I guess that's makes actually more not sense.
Yeah, so it's going to be like, you know, iOS where you just keep getting new versions.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Windows is going to go that route.
Okay.
And the visual difference between like Windows 8 and say, you know, the tablet version Windows 8 and versus like iOS and Android is intentional. It's Microsoft trying not to step on anybody's toes.
Mm-hmm.
So
honestly, it is very clear and it's very concise and you get to see everything very quickly. In a lot of ways, that gives it a leg up at least over Android, because Android, like, I like my stuff cluttered because that's the way my mind works. But tablets can look very cluttered very quickly if you're not if you're lazy about shortcuts and stuff. Metro is clean and smooth in that if it gets a few style points there.
If you look at the way most people use computers, they tend to live and breathe on the desktop.
Exactly.
They'll put folders and icons on the desktop. Mm-hmm. And the tablet interface of iOS sort of just captures that, where everything's just kind of on the screen, which, you know, could be arguably the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Android actually abstracts that. You have, like, an application place, and you can put your icons on the desktop in whichever way you choose.
Mm-hmm.
iOS forces you to have everything on the screen. Windows goes the selective route where you don't have to see everything, or you can see nothing if you want. The place where I think this falls down is when you're trying to start getting into the nitty gritty. You know, when you're trying to like organize your music or rename some music files, you know, or you know, manage videos or pictures. You know, just mm-hmm. you need something with, you know, a tree layout or a way to open multiple windows, and that's where these tablets just kind of fall down. And Microsoft's trying to kind of be like everything to everyone.
Exactly.
And the place where I notice the problems is like moving my mouse between the monitors. If I hover too long in the gate in the middle, I get the charms thing pop up.
Hmm.
And in the right monitor, it does it as well. So if I happen to move my mouse to the bottom left and then move upward slightly, I get the whole thing in with the tasks there, which you can also get with Windows Tab.
Hmm.
So like there's some effect, the tablet functionality kind of starts getting in the way. It's easy to avoid, but it's one of those things why I never ever hid the taskbar, because it just annoyed me that the in and out, like just pick one.
I feel you there, yeah. Well, one thing I think is interesting that I'm kind of looking forward to with Windows 8, and this is a weird point, and people are probably going to disagree with me on this, but and this is something I've actually brought up before in OTF, I think. I think it's like, I think the whole Metro UI, and I see this just in terms of what they're displaying in Best Buy now, is going to start forcing people to make touchscreen monitors the industry standard, which is something that just I personally think has been a long time coming.
It's also been waiting for a while based on the technology dropping in price. And it's only mm-hmm. been recently where it's actually been affordable. So,
well, now goddamn fucking everything has a touchscreen on it.
Like I said, now it's
goddamn
affordable.
The iPod is a touchscreen on it. Like the iPod Nano is multi-touch now. So
I was at Office Depot looking at bargain basement chairs because, you know, Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And
your chair isn't touchscreen, is it?
No, that model cost more. I got the cheap one. So I was walking past the computers, and it still blows my mind that people buy computers from like Office Depot rather than, like, you know, Dell or someplace that actually specializes in selling these things. Just because it's like, really, this selection is enough for you. But in any case, I played with a Asus Windows 8 tablet. It had some snazzy name. I don't remember it. And I said, you know, this is a nice size, nice form factor. I could live with this. Mm-hmm. Well, how much is this? $599.99? Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the funny thing is, like, I paid more than that for my iPad Mini, but I got the maximum size you could get, which is where all that money went. But I feel like it's a worthy investment, whereas, like, this, you know, largely plastic thing costing $600 just doesn't feel like it's worth that to me.
Well, that's part of the reason Surface exists, is to try and drive the OEMs to actually produce something that's not a horrible piece of plastic.
Yeah, and Surface is slick, although you hear the keyboards kind of suck. So
I've heard both ends. I've heard people who say it's just fine. I've heard people who've complained about it.
If they can somehow get an ARC keyboard strapped onto it, then I'm all on board. I love the ARC keyboard.
Well, they have regular keyboards.
It's a good idea, but
too.
It needs one more revision. It's one of those, you know, kind of like Assassin's Creed 1. It's great ideas in there, just needs another iteration to work.
Assassin's Creed 1, as we all know, was more like a tech demo.
Pretty much,
it was a game.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed and Mirror's Edge, and they were both the same thing. Yeah. The tech demo. Yeah. Anyway.
So moving forward with the Windows point, Steven Sinofsky has left Microsoft. The departure sounds willing but seems forced, which means that, you know, somebody was getting their wires crossed, and that's why he had to go.
Yep.
Stories range widely. He generally, the tech press hasn't said so before, but they say that he has been very unpleasant to deal with over the years,
mm-hmm.
and they just kind of, you know, swoop that under the carpet in the name of, you know, keeping a good relationship with Microsoft, which mm-hmm. is interesting because, you know, just because they fired the guy you had problems with doesn't mean you get to, like, tear the company down, but whatever. So he's largely responsible for the coherency that brought Windows 7 into the market, you know, as it was. He was a Steve Jobsian, iron-fisted type of this is my way, we're doing it this way type of deal. But he also had problems with things like integration. Like, he wanted, if they didn't invent it, they didn't want it in their tech. Mm-hmm. So, like, if Office had the ribbon, we don't care. We're rethinking it ourselves. We'll do it ourselves. Like, he didn't want to, like, pull in any kind of cross experience to try to, like, I don't know, unify all the products or something. Who wants to do that? So I worry I don't know if the direction that Windows 8 went with the desktop is his baby or Ballmer's baby or everybody was on the same page, or if Microsoft sees that the PR of the desktops or they care or tablets, there's a lot of unknowns surrounding the situation, and it seems very untimely. Is there anyone has any strong feelings about, you know, anything regard to that?
I think Windows 8 was much more a Steve Ballmer thing. So it really makes me wonder if this is going to end up being Windows looking at this and viewing it as a grand experiment. Windows traditionally has the on-year, off-year with their operating systems, and this is very obviously an off-year. So they do have the... I guess I want to say the... They have the ability to screw it up once, and because it's their off year, they might be able to rub this under the rug or something for a while.
I was thinking that too. Like, but you know, the thing is, I haven't really felt that way about most things. Like, Windows ME was definitely a flub because they tried to throw in too many features that Windows 2000 could stably have in it to Windows 98, which could not handle all that. And thus it was, you know, it had to be restarted like 2-3 times a day if you wanted to keep it up and running.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you do not give programmers vodka on the job.
So, but Windows Vista in beta was terrible. Like, Anthony got to be subject to my, what the hell are they thinking? What kind of computers do they think we're going to have? Because I just didn't get it. And I was like, this is not going to work. And then they finally gave me RC1, which worked fine. Mm-hmm. And so I was okay with Vista for pretty much the entire term of Vista. But I wasn't coming to Vista with like a single core Celeron with, you know, 128 megabytes of RAM.
Exactly.
So, you know, my experience is always going to be a little different. So, but my whole thing is saying that I haven't really had any off years, per se. You know, so this, even with the nuttiness of Windows 8, it doesn't still feel like an off year, because mainly my experience in Windows 8 is not greatly changed from Windows 7. But I'm still worried about, like, maybe what's getting rid of Sinofsky allows them to do is to say, hey, we know that Windows 8 wasn't quite perfect. We got rid of the guy who ruined it. You think that's it?
It very well could be.
So, I mean, Microsoft is famous for not being, you know, a very well unified company. You know, that they have departments competing with each other, part of which Sanofsky fueled. So,
well, it was famous during Bill Gates' era. He encouraged it because he felt the best products would get to the top. But of course, when you get three dominant divisions, it becomes hard.
Yeah, but there's also the problem that, you know, products that would be definitely innovative that would have made a big difference can be killed off by other products that know that they have a chance to be made into the underdog. So they just proactively kill something that
That's what I was saying about the three big divisions. They can kill whatever they wanted.
Yeah, that's politics in the company.
Yep.
I wonder if Microsoft would have been better off if they split off Office into another division. But
we'll never know.
So enough of Microsoft. A couple of weekends ago, the Wii U came out on a weekend.
Yeah, that was interesting.
You understand that I hate you.
Why?
Well, did you know that they're coming out with a device called the TV?
I heard something about that. Is it a device or is it like a software that they're?
I believe it's a software add-on that's going to be part of the Wii U firmware. So,
which will turn your Wii U control pad into a universal TV remote with a sparkling 3-hour battery life.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Well, you can plug it in. I mean, it's not like you're going to be taking it too much. You know,
Let's plug our remote into something so it's not mobile anymore.
Mm-hmm. So William's a sucker. I mean, William's a console player. does the Wii U tempt you in the slightest?
Hell no. No.
So
I haven't even really been into, I guess, Nintendo since, I don't know, it's been a couple years even since I brought the Wii out, so I had no intention of getting the Wii U, and unless something spectacular happens, I don't really care for it.
Well, if you're going into Nintendo, might I suggest OTF the condom?
Indeed.
They're trying to do like current gen video games from like the PS3 and the Xbox 360, which to me is like, it is the worst idea ever. Because you know whatever's coming next from Microsoft and Sony is going to blow the Wii U out of the water.
I mean, it's about goddamn time that the Wii actually, you know, Nintendo actually got up to standards. But like, as soon as like Microsoft or Sony comes out with something else, it will immediately be the old one.
Yeah, so, and it's not going to be that long until they do.
No, it's not. Like, that's my concern, is that I think they've made a console that is not better than the Xbox. They made a console that is on par with it, and I think that was a mistake. I do.
Not only that, but the release was rocky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it wasn't ready. As a matter of fact, a lot of the features still aren't ready.
Like, it's doing awesomely, but, like, there's no... Part of the reason why, like... I'm not interested in it, and maybe why Will's not interested in it, is that there's no interesting launch titles that, like, even make me kind of want to consider getting
the only That's really game, the only thing. The only game I actually was interested in was, I mean, people might sort of scoff at me for this, but was Pikmin 3, but that's just because I love Pikmin.
But it's not even out, is it?
I know, no, it's but not. It's not even, so I guess it's not a launch title, so there you go.
And then fucking push it under the rug, and we're like, what?
For sure.
The thing that breaks or makes a console is really its first-party titles. And the Wii U launched with basically two, well, to scratch that, three. It was Rayman Legends, Wazombie U,
is that a first-party title?
Well, it's a third-party title, but it's Wii U exclusive. At least so far. So you've got Rayman Legends, Zombie U, and Nintendo Land. Nintendo Land is the new Wii Sports, so nobody cares about it.
Yeah.
Zombie U, I've heard, is good, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet. Rayman Legends is the sequel to the amazing Rayman Origins, which nobody played. So if you played it, you're thrilled. If you didn't, you don't care. And then what else do you have? You have Arkham City, which everyone's beat, Assassin's Creed 3, which sucks, Madden and NBA, which it's Madden and NBA. Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's like they're justifying that the stock price dip that they did when they released the Wii U news at E3. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have the Wii through, and the Wii U, and everyone's like, meh, and then their stock price tanked, and then this release comes out just to verify that that's exactly what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Suck ass.
And you really want, especially considering our discussion earlier about multi-touch screens, the Wii U touchpad is not multi-touch.
Oh, dear.
What?
It's not.
Really?
Wow,
it's
a
touch device.
That's horrifying.
Yes.
That was a mistake. What's interesting, and I don't have a statistic that I can actually cite or an article, but sort of heard somewhere that what's interesting though is that Blops 2 is doing really well on the Wii U for some reason.
It's actually not.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not. I actually saw a screen grab of someone who was playing it, and there were like 80 people online.
I've seen screen grabs with about 500 online, so...
Yeah, it's not doing well, and...
It also doesn't run very smoothly.
Well, no, it's on Nintendo hardware.
Well, that's the thing, that's not supposed to be an insult. Why is it still fucking an insult?
Because it is.
Nintendo is not fucking modernizing itself.
No, it's
Look,
not.
Look, we did a fucking iPad attached to a controller.
No.
Give us money.
You shouldn't be putting a COD game on
God
Nintendo consoles. Like, I saw gameplay of World at War on the Wii, and like the guy was playing with the nut. Why would you play that with a nunchuck? Like, honestly, why?
I played World of War with the nunchuck, but I had the little thing where you strap it in to a gun-like thing.
Well, okay,
And I was like, and I played for a little while. I'm like, okay, my arms are tired, and I suck at it this way. I was like, get me on a console, or a PC with, like,
a
mouse and keyboard.
Or a mouse.
Yeah.
Either one.
Speaking of which, since this is, you know, Nintendo's answer to the next generation after the Wii, this, the gamepad / touchscreen whatchamacue. Mm-hmm. Anyone have any thoughts about what will happen with the next-gen controllers, like the Xbox controller and the PS controller? Like, the PS controller is probably not going to change at all.
How do you improve the current controllers?
Yeah, I don't think the classic sort of the classic paradigm that, you know, Xbox, GameCube, even the Wii U's new controller looks exactly like the Xbox 360 controller, which leads me to believe that that sort of classic controller
design is not
going away anytime soon.
It swaps on the right hand side, the buttons.
No, it does, but it, like, in terms of just
swapping,
the way it looks, you know.
But I hear that's throwing a lot of people off, like they can't get with that motion because they've played with an Xbox controller too long.
Yeah.
But the problem that I have is, I never liked the Xbox controller on the Xbox, but I love it on the 360. I like
I meant 360 because the original Xbox.
The original Xbox controllers were huge.
Yeah, so my whole thing is I want, like, whenever they create the new Xbox, I don't want them to drastically change the current controller because I really like it.
Yeah, it looks great.
So
it'd be hilarious if they made it even smaller.
I kind of doubt that'll happen.
No, they won't. It would just be like there was a GameCube controller, a third party one that was, I don't know, 2/3 the size of a WaveBird or something like that.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, and it was this tiny thing that you just was swallowed in your hands, and it was hilarious to play with. But I just think it would be funny if Microsoft did something like that with an Xbox controller. Just for fun. No real purpose.
Well, let's move forward on our points here. Because we saved the best for last.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Hostess is out of business.
That's the stuff.
I would actually pull out my trumpet and play taps. This is the loss of an American legend.
So, but it's gone, but, I mean, won't someone just, like, buy the recipe or...
No, yes.
You know, by the way,
we know what's going to happen.
Okay, so Hostess is dead.
There's things that are, there's disputes that are happening. That, from what I hear, we don't know who's going to end up with the rights, but
some people
are trying to buy them. Yes,
we'll still have Twinkies. They will come back. We'll get them all back. It's just going to be a matter of time, and will they be the same thing?
So, they will be a slightly different shade.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
There's Entenmann's had a Twinkie-like thing I saw at Meijer the other day. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, look at the vultures swooping in. It had like a mohawk of chocolate over the top.
You know who's going to be hurt most by this?
Zombies?
The Blue Man Group. Yeah.
Wait, why?
You've never seen the Blue Man Group's Twinkie
machine? I have, but I don't remember why that's relevant.
Because now they don't have Twinkies, and it's one of their best routines.
Oh, right, when they shove the... In the yeah, okay.
Wow. Maybe they'll have, like, their own personal Twinkie, I don't know, machine.
Somebody has that secret vault of Twinkies from the 70s that they prepared just in case for the nuclear holocaust.
It's right next to the Cadbury egg vault. Mm-hmm. The old ones, the big ones.
Exactly.
Before they started sucking. Oh, God, I missed the big ones.
I think also, and I can't prove this, but I think the Hostess recipes have changed a bit over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't been evergreen or anything.
Someone out there knows.
Yep.
The guy with the vault. So
you only have to irradiate them so many times before they last forever, so.
The best thing I ever had that Osis made was banana Twinkies.
Yes. That sounds terrible.
I loved banana Twinkies, and, like, they were, like, a little specialty item that went away pretty quick. It was essentially like a sweet banana bread with just the Twinkie filling.
Oh did you know that originally the flavor was banana for Twinkies?
There you go. I had the original flavor. Ooh. See, now it's gone.
And it's gone.
So, I don't know, like, do you feel like, you know, millions of gamers cried out and were suddenly silenced when the host has ended?
I don't think really. Twinkie was a real gamer.
I'm pretty sure Hostess was pretty prominent. I mean, maybe not the prominence that Cheetos enjoys. Yeah.
They were prominent, for sure.
Doritos?
Yeah.
Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Doritos and Mountain Dew with Halo 4, was it?
However, should we lose Doritos and Mountain Dew, be sure to check out the Over the Fence Doritos.
Oh, God.
Hey, you started this.
All right.
I'm not.
So we're now
that one needed more baking.
They're like the classic Donitos, Cool Ranch, you may remember.
I thought we had a strict rule of no cross-pollinization of the podcast.
Damn it.
Ooh.
But you went with your Nathan. To bring us this advertisement.
All right. So I want to rant, so we have to talk about the what are you playing right now. So I want to save my rant for last. Anthony, what is it that has your eye right now? What's that?
Is it hint, hint? It's a new game.
Hint, hint, it's a new game.
What you're ranting on.
Yeah. So what are you playing lately, Anthony?
Oh, mainly what I can get my hands on. It's cool. It's been keeping me busy lately.
That's a lame excuse.
It's a valid excuse. I'm a grad student. We don't get free time. We have to steal it.
Ooh.
William's like, I'm going to steal now.
Oh, no. I already steal my time. It's from myself. And it's the sleep time that I could have.
Yeah. I guess lately it would be Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because it came on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did. And I updated it with the content restoration patch.
Fun. Oh, and how's that changing it?
It adds a lot of stuff that was missing. There's a factory for the HK-50 droids and all that.
I heard there was a whole tutorial built into it after they add that.
I haven't seen it. It played.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Masquerade fix.
Oh, yeah. I've done that one, too, with all the patches for it.
I played KOTOR 2 through once, and I didn't like it. And delete. That was the experience of KOTOR 2 for me. So, Patrick, what you doing?
I came home for Thanksgiving break and sat down with my brother and immediately started playing Halo 4, which he had procured from a friend of his. I was very pleasantly surprised with this game. Okay, I'm going to stop.
I
can't take you seriously if you're going to do that.
No, I won't. Okay, the thing about Halo 4... is that I was surprised by how much I liked it. It felt better than Halo 1, 2, or 3.
Looks a whole lot better.
How long did it take you to get through, and what difficulty did you play on?
A couple days on normal, just because we did it at night. So
yeah. Eventually did you spend, an hour at a time on it?
An hour to 2 hours per night.
Okay, yeah. Because I went through it the day before break, and it took me no time at all.
Over the course of, four nights... We're still kind of bad at it, though, so it would some levels would be like, fuck, why do we keep dying? Anyway, the point is, I was very pleasantly surprised about it. It kind of reminded me of, like, a Mass Effect game in terms of the way the story was told. And that was pleasantly surprising for me.
With none of the character interaction.
Well, yeah, no. But
well, that's not a problem. BioWare's getting rid of the character interaction anyways.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a compliment unless we're including Mass Effect 3.
No, yeah. Well, yeah.
But except Mass Effect 3.
I mean that in a good way. I mean that, like, the story seemed to, like, take itself seriously. Mm-hmm. But in a way that it didn't, like, hit you over the head with, like, any kind of message or anything. Like, it tried to do things as opposed to Halo 2, which sort of just introduced a bunch of new
things.
Yeah,
Halo 2 had too much content in terms of plot.
Halo 2 brought in a bunch of whole things, and then poor Halo 3 had to resolve all those plots.
All of it.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily a good game as it was wrapping up this fucking convoluted story. Yeah.
I feel like Halo 4 did have a bit of issues with, like, not making enough clear to the player, because it was sort of like, wait, is this what's going on? And then you sort of have to think way too much while you're trying to shoot things.
Yeah, they're like Halo 2, which I think is because it wasn't finished. There were a couple plot holes in Halo 4 where, like, shit just isn't explained to the player, and you're sort of just expected to be like, yeah, okay. Like, my biggest gripe is that Cortana just fucking knows that this thing is called the Didact. Like, she's
she's been in the database, so, like, wasn't that God, part of it?
Yeah, but there's no, like, because the audience is fish out of water, and, like, 99% of the audience has not followed the books or the story or anything like that.
Well, I mean, so it's not like the books really, like, helped, because, I mean, I read the books.
History, at least, something like that, you know, instead of just, okay, that's who we fucking is.
I actually find it kind of hilarious how much, like, it doesn't follow the plot of the books, but it's as if the devs, like, read the books and then went, so we're lazy and we're going to take all of this cool shit from the books and we're going to tweak it.
Rebel FM said.
We're going to tweak it just enough.
They said there's little things that they, little snippets they threw in that were kind of nods to the books, but they weren't, like, trying to.
As far as I heard recently, there were a series of books that they did specifically to build up to the Halo 4 story.
Oh,
like who this fucking Didact asshole is.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, for the second straight science fiction franchise in a row, Karen Travis just got screwed in terms of her Booksby rendering non-canon, right?
Yeah.
I'm still bitter about the Mandalorian Republic end of thing. Sorry.
Yeah, it happens.
One fun thing is that one of the characters in the game is in fact voiced by the woman who does FemShep, and I didn't notice that immediately. And when I did, I went,
Wasn't FemShep in something, another game that I've played recently that came out?
No, I don't even remember. In Avatar, remember?
Jennifer Hale. She's in everything.
Yeah, I'll have to look.
She's a very prolific voice actress.
Yes.
Yep. But that's all right.
Is she as big as Nolan North?
Probably number two.
I love the little note. I know we maybe have talked about this on an early podcast.
You gotta remember
that they added to Skyrim for the core thing where they said Skyrim was the only game Nolan North wasn't in this year. We have now corrected that.
So, Eric, what are you playing lately?
I have officially picked up and been playing through the one Christmas season game I've been very much looking forward to, Lego Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Is it epic to the most epicness?
You get to fight the Balrog both in Fellowship and in Two Towers, as it's very canon to the movies. And there's actually been quite a few nods to the books that I've seen thrown in. Like Tom
Bombadil in there.
What?
Is Tom Bombadil in there?
Actually, yes. He's an unlockable character.
Nice.
If you've been following the Lego games for a while, when I bought all the Lego Star Wars games, and I whip out Lego Star Wars 3 a lot.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
This is an important thing.
Okay.
It's really important.
Tom Bombadil in the movies. Who would you want to play him?
Shit.
Ooh. Shit.
Well, that's a hard one.
I know exactly. I can nail it in one.
Okay.
Lay it down.
Williams.
Who?
Robin Williams.
Oh my god!
Shit.
Oh.
Yes.
Wait. That makes me even sadder that they cut all of that out.
No, it needed to be cut. It really
I know
did,
it needed but... to be cut, but damn it, I wanted it anyway.
And they gave his lines to Treebeard, which makes me all the more upset.
Yeah, that was like, why the hell would... anyway.
To be fair, Treebeard was awesome in the movie.
Yeah, like... but regardless,
yeah, right.
Need me some Bombadil. Well.
So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Kind of as an evolution off of Lego Batman 2, there's not really like a little hub... city or anything that you're in, like in previous games where you had the cantina, the Star Wars spaceships, that sort of thing. You actually have the entirety of Middle Earth, and the levels are interspersed, and it directs you to where the next level and your next goals are, and there's side quests and everything. So they're adding a lot of action RPG feel to it.
Damn.
And they do a very good job with it. I've been seriously impressed.
Lego's getting for real, Zio.
Yeah. Very much so. And it's definitely the best licensed Lord of the Ring game to come out, and probably since Return of the King, the movie game, which actually was really good.
Yeah, so. I like that.
So yeah, it definitely gets a recommendation, and it's $30 on Steam. I mean, get it.
Oh, it's on Steam. Shit, I might.
Yeah, it just came out on Steam. So. I was impatient and bought it for my PS3, so I paid full price. And
oh, you
my trusty 2009 13-inch MacBook Pro with the horrible graphics card.
Yeah. Oh, I said your trusty 3.
Is that what you're getting at, John?
No, I was saying that you've got your console fanboyness and that you would.
How am I console fanboy?
Filthy console peasant.
I am not.
Yes. It's okay, Patrick. I'll still be friends with you.
To be fair, I don't own an Xbox. I said I went home and played Xbox because my brother had it. And I like the Halo series, but
yeah,
I don't...
Yeah, but he's all like, oh, I connected a gamepad and it felt so right.
I like gamepads. I'm sorry. I just, you know, just do me. I like fucking gamepads.
Remember, over the fence, the condom.
Just slide it over your gamepad and...
Oh, God, you took what I said. Okay.
So, William, what's your game du jour of late?
Well, actually, before I get into that, I will. I'm looking at Jennifer Hale's filmography, and yeah, Halo 4, Black Ops 2, Diablo 3. I mean, like the games that I have been playing. So, no wonder. Anyway, games I've been playing. Not so much Blops because it's frustrating on my internet. Farming Diablo 3 and playing an indie game called Kerbal Space Program.
Oh, which is, I've seen that.
It's hilarious fun.
It is.
In its current iteration, they've got lots. It started out as only the planet that you're on and its moon, called the Mun, but whatever. But in the current iteration, they've got, you know, planets and their moons, and in the next version, it's going to be better because they've got docking. Think about it. Assembling spacecraft in orbit. Just imagine that for a minute.
In space!
I hear just getting them into orbit.
Oh, it's... If you go in with no experience and just, like, no prior knowledge, yeah, it's tough doing anything, but it's hilarious because things blow up and really big explosions are fun.
I managed to crash a rocket into the moon.
Yes, that's something that'll happen is, like, even when you get to the moon and maybe orbit it or whatever, landing is maybe just as hard or harder than taking
off.
Yep. Yeah.
I didn't have quite enough fuel to actually land, so I just aimed for the moon and crashed.
That'll happen. There's EVA right now, and there's a way, if you're moving with sufficient horizontal velocity, you can actually jump out of the spaceship and hit the ground, and because of how the Kerbals work, they'll bounce.
Nice.
And if you do it right, you can, on like the low gravity place planets, you can bounce into orbit. there's an amazing amount of just hilarious things you can do with this game.
Nice.
So it's like Minecraft meets space travel.
Nice.
That's probably like the best short description of it. Because you build these rockets, you do whatever you want, and then you just do whatever you can to get it into orbit, and it's great.
And yeah. I think it's pretty cheap still because it's yeah. So everyone should get it, and it's cathartic. It's way
like,
better than
it was like $10 when I think you bought it for me.
Yeah,
and there's no. It's not real. You're not definitely a. You're really not flying things into space. Nothing's dying when things blow up for sure.
It's true. We think.
Okay. We think. All right.
I have read Ender's Game. I'm slightly worried.
All right, I'm ready to rant. Hang on to your buckles.
All right, let me get my seatbelt.
My pants are on. Let's go.
All right, so nothing like being screwed with your pants on. I've been playing Assassin's Creed 3, and I came to it the same way I came to Assassin's Creed 2, thinking, you know, this is probably going to suck. Because Assassin's Creed 2, after you've played Assassin's Creed 1, you have this sense of like of place. And Assassin's Creed 2 is completely not the same place. So I thought, well, this could go really wrong, and the outfit looks kind of gay, and blah, 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 blah. So I get to Assassin's Creed 3, and oh, it's so much worse than I had ever imagined. Ooh. So the free running in the trees is just as stupid and difficult to do as you could ever imagine. It's contrived, dumb, hard to pull off. And, you know, there's never a place to climb up into the trees when, say, like, a bear is attacking you. Bears seem to kind of stay away from the free-running sections.
If I was getting attacked by a bear, I would be able to jump into any tree, no matter how high the branch is. Screw it.
So, some trees have these little things sticking out where you can climb it, but, of course, it takes a sweet-ass time, so if a bear were mauling you, he would be mauled before he would get up high enough to be safe. You spend the first part of the game playing as not the guy you've been seeing in all the commercials. And there's a story element to that that is actually kind of awesome. But there's kind of like when you play Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood and even Revelations, there's a long time where you have to do consecutive missions before they finally drop you in the open world and you can do what you want. And this game has three complete memory story sections before they do that to you. Mm-hmm. But the way they have the world set up, it's really hard to navigate. One example is you can fast travel to waypoints that are in areas that you've been to before, kind of like Skyrim, only way suckier. As an example, if you look at the map and you find the little exclamation point, you put your little crosshair on it and say, take me here. Well, you go to the exclamation point, except the waypoint is further still than the exclamation point is actually the edge of the area you're in. Your character comes up, camera's behind you, facing into the wilderness. So I go forward, correct? Wrong. Turn completely around and walk into the waypoint that you are sitting in front of. For some reason, you spawn in front of it, facing away from where you had to go. And it does this every single time. They said that the armor never upgrades, which is true. You can change color, but it's about as far as it goes. Weapons can still be bought. There are glitches galore. The general store, which I think there's only like one or two in each city. They have one that's mobile that can sell poisons, I guess. That's all I've seen them selling. The free running works like hell in the main cities. Like, it isn't like Venice or anywhere else in Assassin's Creed 2 or Brotherhood where you can actually like connect from building to building. It just doesn't float like that, mainly because there's not a lot of verticality. The animation on the running, somebody has had their say and ruined it because it looks like he's running with, like, his knees are broken.
Oh, cool.
He runs so low, and the oscillation is impossibly low. It doesn't look right. On the flip side, technically, they've improved the game. The faces look better. The animations of, like, you know, the normal conversation looks better. The flow of the fabrics and the outfits looks better. But that's about the only place the game's done anything right. I'm on, like, memory 8 or 9. And I have just finally reached a point where I feel like, hey, I could actually just kind of go do my thing in the free-roaming world like I would like to do. Mm. And if there's only 12 memories, that's a long pace to get into the game before you can feel like that. So at the end of the day, if you really desperately want the story, I'd say wait for a sale.
It's interesting because you mentioned about the Desmond parts.
Better.
Yeah, no, because it sounds like what happened was, because I originally, the rumors that they had about Assassin's Creed 3 was going to be that the whole game was just going to be a Desmond story. That was the first rumors I started hearing. Like, the developers had said that.
It kind of is, but it's, yeah. I don't want to get spoiled about that one. But the thing is, the the Desmond stuff still isn't fully realized, although right. he does finally do some badass shit, mm-hmm. but it's stolen directly from the ancestor, which he's channeling at this moment.
But like what it sounds like to me is that it sounds like they couldn't decide whether they wanted to do a Desmond story or like a historical story. So they just
it's worse than that. It feels like they went back to Assassin's Creed 1 and upgraded to 3. It doesn't feel like an extension to 2 Brotherhood or Revelations. It feels completely foreign compared to those other predecessors.
It's really weird.
And that's the problem I have with it. It just, you play it and you're like, this doesn't feel like it's by the same company. You know, it's kind of like when you play the Splinter Cell games. You've got the one made in Tokyo and the one made in Montreal. The Montreal one's good, Tokyo one sucks ass. Mm. It's like the opposite, you know, the every other version of Windows, pretty much. So maybe
or,
this
or
is
Star Trek films.
So I wish I could put into perfect concise language why I hate it, but it just there's no all the redeeming stuff is not enough to get you over it.
It's a shame because like I think the idea of having the whole game just devoted to Desmond's story could have been really interesting, like a game that plays like Assassin's Creed but hey, it's modern day, you know, like that could have been really cool.
And some of the tropes wouldn't have worked, like the whole blending thing. You know, people aren't as dumb these days. there's a point where I messed up in one of Desmond's thing because the controls were kind of wonky because I'm running away from people and there's this narrow doorway. And instead of going through the doorway, he goes up the wall. Mm-hmm. So I back up and I correct and try to go through the doorway again. He goes up the other side of the doorway, up the wall. And so it's like, boys, you know, I don't want to get through this doorway really fast because it's not like anybody's chasing me, you know, except they are. So it just the Desmond stuff, you know, had some issues, as does the whole game. The whole forest free-running thing drives me crazy because there's this thing like there's branches sticking off the same tree and you can kind of like walk around it. But I'm still unclear on how that happens. If I push towards it, I have to push to the side because if you push too far to the side, he jumps off. You know, so it's like there's, and if he jumps off, then he falls down 50 feet, land on the ground, and then you've got to find a way back up. And fuck it, I'll just run across the ground.
See, it makes me really sad because Assassin's Creed 3 sounded awesome, like it looked awesome, but I haven't heard a single good thing about it really from anybody that I know that's played it. Yeah,
and you know what I always feel like is the reviewers always give a backhanded compliment if you happen to like the Assassin's Creed series.
Yeah,
almost saying essentially I don't. they're like, you know, there's plenty for you to like here. I was like, yeah, there really isn't. This is nothing like any of the previous games, and it is to its disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So I'm very sad it went this bad, and this is the last Assassin's Creed game I'm going to buy. Unless they demo the next one, and the demo's awesome.
Can there even be more? Like, I thought this was supposed to be the last one.
Could there be any more Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Do we know this answer?
The publishers will never let a possible sequel go.
Well, so, yeah.
So that's my rant. I hope I've done it justice. So I have a random topic, and I'm going to start so you get a sense of what I'm after here. My random topic is 2 games or franchises you'd like to see combined. So my theory is I would like to see a open world combination of something like Uncharted plus Assassin's Creed.
Dang, you stole mine. Okay,
Assassin's
so pretty.
Creed, Brotherhood. I want that. Because Brotherhood is not as good as 2 as far as like the variety in the world and the missions, but it's definitely a polished Assassin's Creed experience. And so combine that with Uncharted 2. Not Uncharted 3 because that one sucked. So, Anthony, what 2 game franchises or types would you like to put together?
Oh, that's a hard one. I haven't really thought about that. I've been more concerned about keeping genres separated.
How about Battlefield 3 and RTS?
No.
Wasn't that called no Company of Heroes?
No more flying the helicopter.
Didn't,
you just
didn't they also try that with Halo Wars or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
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 Meh.
What do you think, Patrick? You got something?
I know I've had ideas about this kind of thing in the past, but right now there's just nothing coming to mind.
I even gave you guys a heads up.
I know, but
I've got one. I mean, like, okay, it's pretty standard, and I think a lot of people have said this over the years, but I'm still behind the Pokemon MMO. Like, I still want that. Or like, just something like Skyrim meets Pokemon.
Would it be turn-based?
No. Well... no. The attacks might not be all that, like, good in terms of animation style, but I mean, you can have it could be like semi turn based, like for instance a game like Baldur's Gate, which is enhanced edition coming out like tomorrow. Nudge, nudge. Anyway,
I'm quite looking forward to that.
Oh my god, I'm ridiculously excited, and it's sad that I'm in school because I need more time. Anyway, but yeah, you could do like a semi-turn-based kind of thing where they're attacking each other, but it's not, you know, I go and then you go. So it has a fluid dynamic while still working and not breaking the engine, I guess. But I feel like it could be done because someone made a mod, I think, for one of these games where you could actually... I mean, they made a Fallout mod where you could put basically Pokemon in, although it just... it had a new skin for some of the mobs that were already in the game. But, like, I mean, it can be done.
You could do it Final Fantasy VI/7 style, where, like, it's turn-based, but you have, like, a time limit. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, that would work, too. Yeah. You can do it however you want. It's just, you know, the point is that it can be done, and I feel like it almost should be done, because it's the next logical step, except, like, it seems like they... Because it's not even that they're married to keeping Pokemon on a handheld device, because, you know, there have been tons of games on consoles. But so they're not there's no problem with, like, the hardware's power, unless, you know, the Nintendo consoles can't run something like Skyrim, in which case...
I mean, I don't know what the fuck Nintendo is doing these days. They know that a Pokemon MMO would be a goddamn cash cow. Like, they know this.
I mean, even if they could do something like Phantasy Star Online and do something like that, if they wanted to, that would be really simple, even. I feel ancient referencing games that whose servers are no longer online. But
no, that's okay. I played Phantasy Star Online with one of my college roommates, the offline GameCube version, because he loved
that's
it.
What I had.
It bored was the crap out of me because there was no story, so I just ran around following him, shooting things. It's like, why am I playing this?
There was a story, but it was one of those games.
He didn't let me slow down to follow the story because he played it before. So it just
took,
like,
so long to get through, like, actually relevant story points.
Yeah,
that. It basically didn't need a story. It was essentially just a bunch of fetch quests or kill quests. That's about it. Or go look for an area quest. Mm-hmm. That was it. But it was still fun because I don't know. It felt new-ish. But yeah.
Well, my franchise hybrid won't be surprising knowing what I like, but I want to basically see Star Wars in the style of Fallout 3, maybe with the Skyrim engine enhancements. I want an open world first-person shooter / third-person hack and slash where you're playing somebody from the underworld, making your way
up. I think you just want a lightsaber that ignites close to your screen so you can enjoy the sound.
I have two actual lightsabers, though. I ignite right next to my head all the time. So
right,
because
actual
that.
Lightsabers exist in this universe.
Well,
I shave with a lightsaber.
Effects, whatever.
But you don't shave. I've seen your pecs.
It's really, like once a month.
I think I have a thing. And it's basically what I've said before, which is that I basically think that we need a new kind of, like, Myst style game. And what I say is basically because Amnesia does this really well, where it's a first person exploring where you controlling very much like a first person shooter, and the controls are very intuitive but, like, not scary, like,
I just figured that was what it was. You wanted a Amnesia minus the brown pants.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain... Because Dear Esther is good, but you don't really do anything. It's just sort of that this narrative is being told as you explore this environment, but you're not, like, doing anything. Like, there's not a sense of purpose. Whereas in Myst, it's like, I gotta go figure out why the fuck I'm here and what this building that looks like a gear is.
See, that's my problem with the Uncharted series. Why I want an Uncharted / Assassin's Creed open world hybrid is I just want to be able to spend some time exploring these gorgeous worlds that they've allowed me to play in. You know, I want to see more. Of course, what usually happens when you try to start looking deeper into a world of a shooter is you find, well, the depth is actually not there very deep. But there's things they could do that could spice that up. You know, like Assassin's Creed 1, you know, you definitely felt kind of void. Whereas, you know, 2 and Brotherhood, they filled it with all kinds of things to do. You know, even without having, you know, things to explore in the world, there were little mini missions of things you could do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this idea has legs, just like, you know, a lot of things that could be combined. I mean, Borderlands said, hey, what if FPS and RPG had a baby? And thus it was, you know?
Yeah, and people, yeah. I mean, that was actually one of the things that bugged me about Halo 4, because you're in these gorgeous environments, and that's kind of the point. Like, part of the point of the development of the game was, well, we want to, you know, we want to get that sort of sense of wonder and like, whoa, what is this place? Yeah, and that's great, but then 5 billion enemies come and you have to kill them all, and you can't really appreciate, like, you can't just explore. You have to kill all the things. And it just gets a little old. Like, I just want to, like, Halo Reach was actually better about that, because there were lots of segments where you're just sort of walking around looking at things rather than always shooting things.
That's why ODST was kind of cool, because were a lot of points where you know, in between the kill all the things, there was the find all the things and learn all the things.
Yeah, and, like, that was the whole point of the rookie story in the game, which is what I kind of... There were enemies, but they're like, you know, 5 max.
And you know, like, it's like, appreciate all of the scenery with your visor turned on, because they made it so that you always have to have it on to see anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that's kind of wrong with, like, say, Call of Duty. You know, there's an article on Reddit today that said something about, like, you know, playing graphically complex games like Call of Duty, and everyone's, like, snickering. Like, well, they picked Call of Duty because it's very popular.
Yeah, obviously. Sure. Yeah.
But the end of the day, Call of Duty single player is training for deathmatch and multiplayer. It's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's frantic, it's constant, and it's usually moving. There's not a whole lot of sit around and talk nonsense. There's, you know, there's always like this setup, you know, you bet you want to go on leave and have a good time with your girlfriend, and oh no,
psych, motherfucker,
we're crashing. You know, there's always, you know, there's always that.
I gotta say,
speaking of which, have you guys seen the generic video game trailer video on YouTube?
No, I'll have to look this one up.
Where the guy's like, cut.
Oh wait, maybe I have seen.
You showed this to us, yeah.
And at the end, they're like, you know, title. It's about damn time.
That is one thing that too many, especially game trailers, do is the whole. Doom, 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 doom.
Explosion, doom, building doom, falls.
Title.
You know? I will say, though, I think that the Battlefield trailers used that to great effect.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were the little cuts were all you were getting to see of the new Frostbite engine, which is supposed to be used for the next Mass Effect, I believe.
Oh, that'd be
so cool.
Supposedly it's being used for Mirror's Edge 2, which is in development,
I'm excited about that too.
It is.
Okay, Mirror's Edge is not real until it's real.
Exactly.
No more talking about Mirror's Edge until there's Mirror's Edge 2.
Wait, what game are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking
about. Has anybody seen stuff about the new Unreal Engine?
No. Yes, I have.
It looks amazing.
Yes.
And I want games made in it now. Right now, please.
We need technology to catch up with that.
Hush. Nobody cares about technology limits.
But they exist.
Yeah.
Well. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just about time for us to wrap it up now.
All right. So, for Over the Fence, this has been Anthony.
See ya.
Eric.
For those of you who didn't think OTF the Condom was quite sensual enough, now we have, coming out in 2013, OTF the Fuzzy Pink Handcuffs.
Oh, God. Patrick.
Fuck it, I'm straight up getting drunk.
William?
I am clearly going to have to go over and make sure Patrick's not dead.
I'm fine!
And me, Janathus, signing off.
Hey, hey, William.
Hey, want hey, some haircuts? What? Hey, hey, are they pink and fuzzy?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
My silliness quotient might be a little low this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's been inject wrong. Whatever is required.
All right, I'll go meta, you know.
He's on his know. Way to the toilet. He's going to quickly use that toilet.
My first thought, I haven't really decided.
Let's go with over the fence, the colostomy bag.
Just
because.
That's not.
Oh. So in other news, I have food poisoning.
Hey.
Balls.
Over the Maybe. Fence, the food poisoning.
Over the fence, the laxative.
You wouldn't have to clean up if you'd used the OTF condom. Faux shizzle my nizzle is a bastardization of faux sheezy my neezy, which is a bastardization of for sure my nigga, which is a bastardization of I concur with you wholeheartedly, my African American brother.
Patrick, is that you that keeps like? Yeah, in the background.
We're so white.
Well,
I mean, everybody hates Comcast because Comcast basically fucks you over without a condom, without an OTF brand condom. So
it's,
for
her
it's the only firewall you need.